Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, peace family. We back. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Montoy,
a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We are back again, family, for another week. Hopefully this show will construct the dialogue with the family. This is Collective Minds, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. And man, oh man, we putting in another week. You know what I'm saying? 2020 has been full of events, full of things that we have not seen before, and it gets interesting by the day. So we're glad y'all tuned in with us this evening. We appreciate it. Before we get started on the show, my brother Mufasa and Queen Rigel, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for us?
Okay, I had a great week. It's still very interesting. Everything is just interesting day by day, just to see how this stuff is going to unfold. But no announcements. Besides that, just had a good week.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My brother Mufasa Ra, how was your, what is this, our third week on quarantine, quote unquote, or social distancing, whatever they calling it? How was your week, my brother, and do you got any announcements for us?
I had a good week, bro. You know,
okay.
I'm still, like I say, enjoying the peace of not having so many people on the highway with me when I'm traveling throughout the week. So, you know, I'm good, you know. But I did want to make one announcement. I wanted to send condolences to the family of Minister Abdul Hafiz. He was a local minister in of Mosque 7 in New York. He died from complications to the coronavirus yesterday morning. Strong brother in the nation. So, you know, my condolences to his family. And, you know, for everybody out there who's dealing with this, you know, can still continue to do what they say. Be careful, because as we're seeing, it can touch anybody. So be careful out there.
Indeed, yes, indeed. Condolences to that brother's family and loved ones. You dig? So yeah, here we are. What is this? February 12th. We are discussing today, basically, what can the federal government do to help the Black community fight the pandemic known as coronavirus or COVID-19. For those that don't know, this past week, you know, a lot of stuff came out as far as how Black people are disproportionately dying from the coronavirus. Now, it may seem like it's maybe some misunderstanding out there, because a lot of people think that Black people are the majority of the deaths of coronavirus, which that is not accurate. The thing is, they're saying that when Black people catch the coronavirus, the mortality rate is higher, meaning, you know, Black people have a higher chance of dying once they contract the virus. But they started getting to releasing data on, you know, race, and I think a few people in Congress was like, okay, we need to figure out, you know, the numbers on race. So this past week, they actually started to release some of those numbers, and basically saying due to pre-existing health conditions, you know, in the black community, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, you know, respiratory problems, what have you, all of these things contribute to the higher rate of you, you know, succumbing or dying to the coronavirus. So today here at Collective Minds, we are discussing, you know, what, if anything, feel me, can the federal government do to help the black community fight this pandemic? Since they're the one, you know, in my opinion, who are reading off the stats and telling us, oh, it's due to, you know, healthcare disparities and socioeconomic reasons and all these things. They can give you a long list of the things that are wrong. But when it comes to actually putting down some solutions or coming up off some resources to help the black community, you know, then everybody wants to twiddle their thumbs and look up in the sky. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're talking about today, family. If anything, what can the federal government do to help the black community fight this coronavirus pandemic? And we'll get to the call lines here in a second. Please give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. All right? So, yeah, before we get to the actual question, you know, I just want to ask Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa, you know, what did y'all think, if y'all could, you know, sum it up in a couple minutes, what did y'all think of how, you know, black people are basically, you know, in my opinion, becoming the face of the coronavirus, at least here in America? You know, what do y'all make of that data that's come out, and how, you know, we're being disproportionately affected by this virus? And yeah, we'll go to Queen Rigel first. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the message itself, you know, I think it's pretty, I think it's perceived the way that you're perceiving it, as they make it, they do want the black people to be the face of it. However, for me, it's like, I don't think it really matters that much. I think we should just have the mindset to just do stuff, you know, come together like we've been talking about all this time, encouraging the black community to come together and all that. Because the problem is, they saying this, we already know the reasons that they saying, you know, which we already talked about, disproportionate health care, just economics, just everything. You know, we've always been oppressed. So there are I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, anyway, they're the result to that, you know, that's just the result to the way that they treat us, you know, the way that we've been oppressed as far as the things that they use against us. So in that sense, that bit of information is true, but that doesn't mean that the way that the doc spoke about it, and Trump too, they do try to push an agenda. But we don't have to worry about that agenda that they push. You know, we can just try to just do our own thing like we've been talking about, and like we, you know, want to encourage, you know, unity in the community anyway. You know, it's like, yeah,
right,
they you know, pushing it, you know, but that doesn't, it's no, I think is, I don't, I wouldn't personally want to waste time trying to prove it or disprove it when at the end of the day, I'm still just have to make a decision to do something anyway. Just make the decision, let's just do something, and just keep it moving.
Indeed. Yeah, no, I got you. You know, basically we need to handle our business and then, you know, let everything else take care of itself, so to speak.
Well,
you know.
It's well,
or,
I think,
yeah, clear it up for me.
Well, because I've been saying we can go back and forth on this, and I don't want to do that. I can clear it up later, but no, that's not totally accurate what I'm saying. So.
Okay, go on, clear it up. We still early. You can
okay.
Clear it up.
Well,
yeah.
Basically, the words that you're using is true. However, the energy behind it and the narrative that you're pushing is false. Because, yeah,
okay.
we can still, I mean, that's what it comes down to anyway. You know, you can put whatever type of message on it anyway, but at the end of the day, it really boils down to people just making a decision and just doing it.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I'm not saying that, yeah, we just need to do our thing and everything is going to be great, honky-dory. No, but I'm saying at this point, I'm saying the purpose of this whole discussion is because there's a big deal going around in the world that we're talking about. And this is a
right.
This is a big deal that impacted everybody. So everybody from that point is at unity to make a decision about this thing, you know. And that's just what it is. We just have to decide to do something. And
now, who is the we? When you say we, talking about just us as a community, or you mean the government?
Well, I mean, when I'm speaking of we, I'm just saying this, the world, you know. Now, you can section things off, you know, like I know we do all the time. We have categories. We have, you know, different things that separate, you know. So, yeah, that's still part of it, but I'm saying everything. I'm not just saying one section of the world needs to change. I'm saying the world needs to change, the people, humanity, the way that things are structured, all that. But that's just me just trying to clear up that one thing for Brother Kevin. I don't want to get too far off of anything, you know. Like I said, we can have that discussion can be long, and, you know, so.
Right. But, no, I was actually agreeing with you. I didn't want to, you know, that's what I was trying to clarify. But, no, I was agreeing with what you were saying. You know,
okay, I thought the way you was asking that question, I thought you were saying, okay, so you're just saying white people just need to just do their own thing and then everything will be honky-dory. That's the impression. I was like, no, that's not it.
No.
Okay, but no.
No. Yeah. I was, you know, trying to agree with you from what you were saying. But, yeah, so I guess, you know, the same question to Mufasa. What do you make about the data that came out as far as here in the United States, how, you know, black people are being disproportionately affected by coronavirus?
I agree with it that it's hitting us a lot. And the main reason it's hitting us a lot because, you know, we know that this thing attacked and preys upon, you know, your people with weak immune systems and, you know, people with pre-existing conditions. And in our community, we have to realize, I mean, it's true that we deal with a lot of hypertension, obesity, asthma. You know, we got a lot of conditions, unfortunately, in the black community, and it's stuff that we've been dealing with for a long time that we haven't, as a whole, addressed or done anything about. So it's not shocking to me that it's hitting certain black people, you know, a certain way. Because, I mean, let's be real. And it's the part where I know y'all probably disagree with me, but our lifestyles are not the greatest. And I'm talking about as the whole of black people, our lifestyles are not the healthiest. You know, we eat all the pork. We eat a lot of the barbecue. We do smoke a lot. We drink a lot, you know. I know Brother Kev's going to bash that. But
yeah,
Yeah, I know. I know y'all going to beat up on that. But we
I won't disagree with it, but I will add to it.
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of unhealthy things, and, yeah, it's true that other groups of people do these things as well, but here's the thing. and I'll get spooky on y'all. Is it true that we God's chosen people? Is it true that we are the ones that should be holding ourselves to a higher standard? So maybe because we disobedient to our Creator, that's why even though other groups of people do these things, we are getting punished the worst because we know better and should be doing better. So I'll let y'all go ahead and bash up on that before I go any further.
Well, I already said I wasn't bashing it, but I mean, I will add what you touched based on it, though, you know, because it is everywhere. And that kind of goes to, it actually ties into my response to that same question, because everybody does it. And I think the numbers is too close to say who won the race, who outbeat who, because everybody doing it. That's like an inch worth of,
right.
You know, if whoever won that, you didn't win by far. So, yeah, you may have someone that's greater, but that doesn't mean that it's by a wide range. So to say that as if, and you may give a lot of people the impression that when they say, okay, the black community is getting harder, well, maybe not, because everybody's doing it, though. You know, what you said is right, but that applies to not just us. It applies to everybody as far as the unhealthy eating and the, you know, and all that.
Maybe we're not supposed to be doing what everybody else doing it just because they're doing it. We should be doing
thing. You don't do anything just because someone else is doing it. You shouldn't. A lot of that happens, but no, that's really not. Not it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I'll add to that. I'm not going to bash it. But, you know, I would just say that, you know, I just think that's unfair because, again, other communities are dying from this disease. So to just single out black people as far as eating habits and vices, whether it's alcohol, smoking, drugs, whatever. You know, I just think that's unfair. I think it's almost akin to victim blaming because, I mean, let's just be honest, because we've been told all our lives that black people are the highest in this disease. We're the highest in obesity. We're the highest in this. Everything that happens. Go ahead.
Just for clarity, let me ask you one quick question before you go on. Are y'all saying that y'all don't believe that? That y'all don't believe what they're saying, that African Americans or black people getting hit the hardest? Y'all don't believe that's a true statement?
No. I'm not. Go ahead.
No, you finish
that. Queen Roger. No. I would.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I'm going to just say that I don't know. According to their numbers, you know, they would say, yeah, we're dying at a higher rate. That could be true. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to verify. But I do know that there are other races that are dying as well. So what is the cause of them dying from the virus? But I think to put mash these two together, I think it's kind of irresponsible because we're talking about a virus versus, versus some quote-unquote lifestyle choices. So, you know, I just think it was specifically talking about the Surgeon General's statement that he made on Friday at the press conference, specifically speaking of that. I think there was an agenda behind that to basically demonize black people. And like I say, from my opinion, I may be taking it real extreme, but it's like if a black person dies from the coronavirus, oh, well, that was their fault. You know, they got bad eating habits. They smoke, they drink, they do drugs. So whatever. You know what I mean? Like, who cares? It's almost like saying that, damn, it's just their fault. If they die, if your loved one died from coronavirus, oh, well. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't take his statements like that. I took it as that because they had already just been saying, you know, previously, you know, all people and giving guidelines on what everybody should do. So, you know, to talk from the jump, it wasn't like they were saying this virus is attacking black people. But as the numbers was coming in and people dying, you know, and they started doing numbers and comparing things, they started seeing that, a lot of black people were getting hit with this. And so we didn't even know before they did those numbers, though, when they were saying to distance yourself and do all that, they were saying that people with weak immune systems, you know, going to get hit the hardest. So all those conditions that we talk about adds to that. You know, even in Mexican, in Hispanic community, white community, whatever, you know, anybody who got pre-existing conditions, heart disease, lung issues, any type of things, this particular type of virus can take you out. So they were saying that from the beginning. Right. So then when the numbers came in, there was a lot of black people that was coming in with this. I think that's that is a true statement that certain pre-existing conditions we do have more than others. Just like we say with the hypertension. And, I mean, this ain't something that we just now talking about. We've been discussing this stuff for years. You know what I'm saying? Right. For years. So it's not like it's a surprise that black people had this in their communities. It's just that now we know we've had that, and now they was like, man, what's making this virus hit the black community so hard? And then, you know, we started realizing, well, a lot of us do have these pre-existing conditions. So I didn't take it as he was demonizing. I just think he was taking it as, we know this is hitting us because of this, and now we need to start focusing on cleaning that issue up in the black community. So that's what I'm looking at. Like we need to start looking at these type of things of why are these things so prevalent in our community? The obesity, the hypertension,
And I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. So here's my thing. We should have been doing this before, because millions of people die from heart disease a year. If we compare the deaths from heart disease versus the coronavirus, heart disease would look like a mountain compared to the coronavirus death. So we should have been on this before, and I think black people have been raising their health conscious level at least in the last, you know, 20, 15, 10 years. We've been raising our levels of consciousness to get on the right path, to try to get things, you know, to get to eat right and eat healthier and things of that nature as far as our lifestyle goes. So I believe that we have been making progress. It may have not been as much as we would want, but I think we have been making progress towards a healthy lifestyle. Now, I want to give you this, though. This is from the Los Angeles Times, and we can kind of use California, because these are numbers from California. We can use this as a microcosm for the United States, let's say. If we just use the state of California, you know, we kind of apply it to the rest of the country. Now, in California, the number of cases reported, they broke it down by race. There were 37% of white people who had COVID-19, 30% Latino, 14% Asian, 6% black. These are people who tested positive for the COVID-19. Now, when we get to death, it goes 43% of the victims were white, 29% of the death victims were Latino, 16% were Asian, and 3% were black. So what that's saying, if we just stick to the black numbers, out of 6% that had cases, 3% died. You know, so that's roughly about 50% of the cases. Okay. But like I say, if we just use that, those numbers are kind of low compared to the narrative that they're trying to paint. Because what about the, you know, the 43% of white people that died, the 29% of Latinos? Black people are not the only ones in this country with health issues or with addiction to vices or what have you. So, you know, to kind of paint that narrative and throw all the garbage on black people, you know, I just think that was disgraceful, to say the least. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, what are we doing here? You know, in my opinion. And like I say, looking at those numbers.
Yeah, go ahead. You say all the garbage.
It's like they dumping the garbage. Everything that's wrong with America gets dumped onto black people. Heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, everything gets thrown into the black community. I mean, we can go as far as crime and all these other things that are dumped on us, and I think that's the narrative they push, and we got to be the ones to control that narrative and say, no, that's not us, and we're doing better. You feel what I'm saying? And not go for the okey-doke as, well, yeah, this is it. No. We can control the narrative. We don't have to listen to them when they tell us, you guys are the cause of it, or you guys suffer from this the most, you suffer from this, you suffer from that. You commit all the crimes, you do this, you do that. It's up to us to shape that narrative. And I think they are trying to make black people in America the face of the coronavirus. And we could talk about whether they're trying to criminalize black people behind this or the agenda that they have behind it. But I really feel like there was an agenda behind these numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you're reading too much into it.
Possibly. You know, I'm not going to rule that out either. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
I was just going to say another thing, too. Now, they could know the numbers because they knew what they the ones set everything up from the get-go. From the beginning, they like, okay, we about to... It was just part of the plan, so they got the data. But personally...
Oh, man, now we really getting paranoid.
Right, but I won't get that deep. I just want to throw that out there. Mm-hmm. However, but for me, still, like I said earlier, because it's like Brother Kevin just said, it's so many health problems amongst us. I don't know, we may have different types. I'll say that, maybe. But because the... just as a whole, a lot of people are just unhealthy and have health issues. That is just the numbers fluctuate too much to even say that, you know. So to even be able to just single out one race of people, I just think the numbers are not solid enough to make that assumption. There's a lot of people that don't go to the doctor, and I know they're only going off of the data that they have. But it's inaccurate because it's a lot of people that don't go too, and so it's just that I just think, like I said earlier, the numbers would be too close to even be able to single out one group. It's just like, you know, we have health issues, so just make light of the health issues that you should be on the lookout for. Just make, you know, like. Just kind of generalize it to, you know, so that if you have a health issue, no matter what color you are, no matter what type of person you are, then you know you need to be on the lookout.
Right. I mean, advise everybody. Yeah, I mean, you know, advise everybody. If you're just joining this family, we are continuing our third week quarantine edition. We're talking about the COVID-19, coronavirus. We're specifically asking what can the federal government do to help the black community fight the coronavirus, since they released a report, you know, that black people are disproportionately dying from the virus. Give us a call.
Yeah, we didn't even really discuss that.
Yeah, we about to, and then we're going to go to the call line. So, yeah. Give us a call, family. The number is 929-477-1697. And, we go to Queen Rigel first. What do you think, if anything, the federal government can do to help the black community fight this virus, since, you know, since we are disproportionately dying, according, you know, to their records?
The best thing they can do is what we've been trying to get them to do since day one, is they just you know, back up off of her. You know, just quit trying to oppress, you know, the black community. Quit doing things that is going to target the black community and make it where it's more of a challenge to just, you know, live a quality life around here. You know, just basically just back off, allow the black community to grow without any interferences, you know, be stand up, be fair with the resources. And that's just really all, you know, that's really all it's about. Just back up. Because right now I just think the way that the system is set up is just set up where it's just, you know, it's on the black community necks and they back. And they need to back up, and that's it.
All right, indeed, Queen Rogers.
So basically, the black community, we can do this. We can deal with it like everybody else in our way, but just allow that, you know, allow that.
Right.
They just need to get out of the way.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, what do you think the federal government can do to help, you know, the black community fight this pandemic?
They should outlaw barbecue joints in the hood, outlaw liquor stores, outlaw blunt wraps. They should outlaw it, ban it out of our community. They should force women to cover up themselves. Don't be doing thottish things. Teach their children, homeschool their children. Raise them up on fruits and vegetables. Feed them properly. Give them the right nourishment. What else should the federal government do? Maybe lower our taxes a little bit. Quit taxing me so much. I always want to throw that in there. Because I'm always paying the government every year. I am tired of that, though. So give me a break on my taxes. That's mainly about it for me. I think they need to put the iron fist down, just like how they're doing now with the Rona, and maybe we can get some act right.
Right, yes, indeed. And we'll get to the phone lines here in a second. So my thing is, what can the federal government do to help the black community fight the Rona? First off, I want to just be clear, because I don't think the federal government will do anything to help us. I think they will just provide a lot of lip service, a lot of data. You know, talk about all the ills that affect us, but when it comes to the get down, I don't have a lot of faith in them actually doing anything. Now, what they could do is break off some resources for us. You know, we can get some type of protected class citizenship, since we know, according to them, that there's medical disparities, right? Since we're talking about the corona, they tell us, or they put out information and data telling us that we are not treated the same in these hospitals. You know, we're not diagnosed the same. The treatment's different. All these racial disparities that, you know, that they give us the data on, if that's the case, then we should have some control over these hospitals. We should be a protected class. We should be able to, you know, set up these institutions for ourselves, right? We should have an enclave as far as somewhere in the city where we're able to not only provide medical care for each other, but education, banks, so on and so forth, so we can have a real, economic right? We could have a real community, a common unity. They could do that. They could, now I'm with Mufasa, because I think if we, meaning black people who are, you know, somewhat conscious and of a level head, we can control the zoning in our community, meaning you cannot have 5 liquor stores in one zip code or 10 liquor stores in one zip code. That's ridiculous. You see what I'm saying? We have access to more liquor stores than we do grocery stores, right? So I don't know if that's necessarily federal. You know, that could be local or state, but somehow we have to get control of the zoning in our areas, meaning all these liquor stores and these, what you gonna call it, chicken plate, these Miami grills and chicken spots and
all these fried rice places, chop suey,
fried rice places, chop suey. Like, all these things can be limited, if not totally gone from the community. Now, I'm not going
to
say, you know what I'm saying?
The community got to stop supporting them. The community got to stop supporting that stuff.
That is true, but even before that, because if you go into the suburbs or the county, they're not going to allow 10 liquor stores in their community. I mean, if you put 10 liquor stores in, let's say, you know, West County or Ladue, people will go to them. You know what I'm saying? People will go just because it's convenient. But if you remove that, you know what I'm saying? The problem is the convenience and the easy access to get to these stores. So, yeah, I'm with Mufasa. We can control those type of things, you know, get healthier restaurants in our community, get grocery stores, just simple stuff, you know, grocery stores with fruit in them, with just regular food and not all these fast food joints and all these type of things that we know are detrimental to our health. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm with you. I'm with Brother Mufasa and Queen Rigel on this, because I think it now is the time. This is a perfect opportunity for black people to circle our wagons, right, and start to look out for each other. Even if it's something as simple as, you know, sharing remedies with each other as far as how to be colds and, you know, different type of teas and herbs and vitamins that we may need. Just sharing information like that is helpful. You know, looking out for the older people in our community as best we can, sharing ideas on how to be safe. Now is the time for us to really strategize, because I think the floodgates are open as far as black people really coming together for a common goal. Now, we don't all have to agree on every single thing, but I think it's very important for us to use this time to start to get on code and figure out our next move, because, like I say, the floodgates are open, and, you know, who knows how this thing is going to go, but, you know, we may come to a point where we'll have to be sharing food, and we'll have to be sharing ideas and bartering and trading, you know, just working together as a people. So I think the time for that is now. I don't think necessarily we should rely on the federal government, because I don't think they're going to do much, in my opinion. I think they're going to talk about the ills and just leave it at that, just like they're doing press conferences every week, just telling us what to do, but they're not offering any hardcore solutions to the
problem. I got another thing that they should do. They should, instead of like mandatory evacuations, if you're going to shoot people up with something, shoot them with some of that stuff like you're talking about with like Dr. Sabi had. You know, force people to take multivitamins. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Make mandatory vitamin C shots. Stuff like that. Do that.
Yep. That's right.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah, and that's basically what, you know, you guys just put it together. You have only Aldi's and Whole Foods stores with quality food, and nobody have no other choice but to eat a quality meal.
Exactly.
Making them take their vitamins. Take away the choice.
Yeah.
Don't have the liquor stores there.
Build, you know. Yeah.
Only make
help people,
wine.
And I'm not saying. Right. And I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying.
Alcohol is illegal.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even go that far. I would just say at least limit the neighborhood.
No.
No, I mean, I'm just saying me personally. at least to one. But when you got, when you can walk to three different liquor stores, that's a problem. You feel me? If you can walk to three different liquor stores from your old house, that's a problem. So I wouldn't say get rid of them all together, but limit
well, yeah,
the amount that we have in our community. Yeah, definitely cut down.
Make it very limited.
Cold turkey.
Stores should be like put four away. Where it takes maybe like 45 minutes to get there. All liquor stores should be 45 minutes away from the community.
Yeah. If you want it
right. You want it right.
You want it. You got to go a hell of ways to get it.
You got to get it right.
In fact, you
really got to
walk
gotta
up a mountain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, and then on top of that, they could be teaching us. Or not teaching us, but they could be, you know, explaining to us how to build our immune system, how to really eat to live, like, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. But if they're not going to do that, they should allow people who are qualified in our community to, well, I'm using the wrong language, because they don't have to allow. We should be teaching our community these things that we have been taught by the elders, which is how to eat to live, you know, how to build your immune system, how to, you know, take different herbs and vitamins if you got different ailments, and, you know, Dr. Sabi, Dr. Layla Africa, you know, all these people in our community who have taught these things, they should be in the forefront of teaching our people. And since we know that they're not going to get mainstream media shine, you know, we have to create them outlets for them to teach our people and to be exposed to more people.
Man.
Right.
You know, Brother Kev, I hate to say this, though, but the even when they do make it available, unfortunately, you know, people like ratchet stuff. Not just us. A lot of people like ratchet stuff. You know, they just be like to do things they shouldn't do. So I'm like, you know, make it available, but then you force them to follow through. Force the people, like I say, like mandatory vaccines. You got to just mandatorily, you know, eat the right things. Like Roger said, it's mandatory. You can't allow nothing bad. You can't give people no bad choices, because a lot of the times they're going to choose the bad choice. So just get rid of it.
Right. Well, I mean, but see, that goes back to the previous conversation, because we've been told all our lives that these things were bad. Smoking is bad. Drinking is not good for your health. Drugs are definitely not good for your health. But what does it come down to? People are going to make decisions based on where they at. That's basically what it comes down to. You can tell somebody smoking is bad, smoking cigarettes is bad. They got it on a package. They have billboards with the Surgeon General warning, and people
mm-hmm.
still smoke.
They even know
that's because it's an option. That's why I said you got to take away the option.
Right.
You got to take the option away from people.
Or we could address the issues that make people go these routes. What are the underlying issues, you know, psychological or otherwise, that make people smoke, drink, and do drugs? What are those issues? I think if it went, then we can get somewhere. You know?
That makes sense.
I think then we can get somewhere. So, but yeah, family, if you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are discussing possible solutions from the federal government or otherwise just within the community that we can do to fight the coronavirus pandemic, because they released a report this week saying black people are disproportionately affected by the coronavirus. The Surgeon General, which is a brother, Jerome Adams, they had the press conference Wednesday. And he urged people to, people in the black community, and I didn't mention the Latino community, to, you know, stop using drugs, stop smoking, stop drinking, check on your, what do you say, check on your pop-pop and Big Mama. And you know what I'm saying?
I realize Toy saying that's just, you know, he's just, encouraging or it's just good advice. But you don't, but like Brother Kevin, you don't have to make that about the corona, no. You know.
Yeah.
He just basically out there giving good advice. But it's good advice for everybody. But he's talking, he's a black man, he feel like he's talking to his community, I reckon. So, you know.
Yeah.
So you don't have to tie it into the corona though. You don't have to tie it to
corona. But that's the reason he tied it into it is because that's the pre-existing conditions that the corona is attacking. So I mean, if that's the case, if that's true, then I mean he was doing the right thing. If the corona is attacking those pre-existing conditions, and he's telling black people that we got these pre-existing conditions, which is true that we do have it, then yeah, we need to fix those pre-existing conditions. That's why I said I wasn't offended by what he said. He said nothing that was false. Unless we're going to sit here and say that we don't have pre-existing conditions, but we do.
No, we can't
say that white people do and we don't. We do. So,
No. Yeah, right. We do. My thing was, and the brother could have been sincere, but me personally, I suspect that he was told to say that by his superiors. And I think, again, my opinion or my conjecture is that there was an agenda behind making that statement, basically to blame a person who's black who dies of coronavirus. You know, you can kind of minimize it by just saying, hey, they smoke and drink. You know what I'm saying? They smoke, drink, and do drugs. So, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
We better get to the call line.
Yeah, let's hit the call line. Let's hit it.
Okay.
Ready, Roger?
Yeah, I'm ready. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I still want to know who that day is.
Now who?
Roger, you talking about the day? day. Then
okay,
better yet, we.
The day.
But anyway, look at here. Check
topic?
This out, Roger. I don't know what you is. In Chicago.
Yes, sir.
From 2009 to thus far in 2020, police has killed 139 people.
Okay.
From the beginning of 2020 to April of 2020, blacks have killed 132 people. Of the 132 of their own.
Okay. Where we
ain't
going?
No,
where we going, Colin? Where we going though? Where
Corona would have to work double time to do that.
Oh, man.
Now,
so what are you saying? Break it down. Make it plain for us.
Corona in these concentrated, and that's what they, I'm going to give you something else here. They say that 70% of the people that's died in Louisiana has been black. Okay.
I've heard that.
New Orleans has 391,006 people. 59% of the population in New Orleans is black. That would be 233,587.
Okay.
Gotcha. We got that number, right?
Yes, sir.
There has been 755 total people according to NPR now, died of corona-related deaths throughout the whole state. Now, if we would take every last one of them and put them in New Orleans, where you have the largest concentration of blacks, 70% of 755 is 529. people dead. 529 is 0.2% of the population of blacks in New Orleans. You see what's going on here? They throwing these percentages out there rather than the actual count.
Right.
They do that in Milwaukee. They doing that with all this black. And, you know, I think it's black folks that's doing this, because I was listening to some politicians on a briefing with Bill Edwards in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
And when he talked, he threw out the whole history, slavery, Jim Crow, blah, blah, blah. I don't understand why he done it. It's just like in St. Louis on Demetrius' show this morning. They had the town hall meeting.
Right.
And you heard them talking about there's no health care in St. Louis.
Okay.
No healthcare.
Yeah, that's what they say. Blacks don't have health care.
Okay. Oh.
You go to Google and type in comprehensive health centers in St. Louis. And you got at least a dozen of them pop up in the hood.
Yeah. What you mean?
You
as far
got
as like
the one there.
And stuff? You talking about?
Yeah, you
like
got Myrtle Hiller Davis. She's got two of them. You got these women's and infant centers on Forest Park. You got another one down on Whittier. Even got them in St. Louis on Limp Avenue, on Pope Avenue. You got Peoples over on 5701 Delmar.
Mm-hmm.
You got health centers all over the place. And they charge you on a sliding scale.
So
based on what
well,
you
let,
can pay.
Let me ask this, because I don't want to veer off too far. Do you think the government, the federal government, is doing enough to help black people deal with this virus in America? Or do you think that
the federal government
the
is doing
they
what
they're
doing to help? They doing what they doing for American citizens. Blacks ain't no separate entity in the United States. And another point, Trump can't tell states and local governments what to do.
Right,
that's up
right,
to
right.
your governor and up to your local government. And if you think they
right.
are violating your civil rights, then you take action against them. And if necessary, you bring the Department of Justice in. But Trump can't tell these states what to do. All he can do is make recommendations.
Right.
Now, what he can
right,
do,
right.
he can open up the federal offices, like the Social Security office and anything else that people are complaining about they can't get a hold of anybody.
Right, right. Yeah, that's, and we're starting to see that now because different states are starting to issue when they plan on opening back up. I know Texas said that they plan to open up here soon. I'm going to say the end of April. And then California was like, they were saying it may be longer. So we see this across the country that different states are, they have different protocols
mm-hmm.
as far as setting things down and when they go actually open back up. So
now, I tell you how the government help is when they lend to these cities, these field hospitals. And I think
right.
that's a good thing because it takes the load off of the emergency room. And
right.
even then, so, you know, like you had the guy call in on the show this morning and said that the police officer said his brother went to the hospital three times. Well, symptoms don't mean you have coronavirus. And if you do, the first thing they're going to do, well, the only thing they can do is send you home. Tell you to quarantine yourself.
Right.
Now, if you have a problem breathing, then they will do something different. But hell, they do that when kids go to the hospital because of an asthma attack.
Right, right. Yeah,
so this
virus, it's been. Go ahead.
This virus is getting blamed for a whole bunch of stuff too.
Right.
Because
right,
if
because
you
they have,
got.
Yeah.
You got high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you have high blood pressure? You take medication to thin your blood out, right?
Right.
If you didn't take that medication, possibility you can die from that ailment.
Right.
Well, now you got chicken pox. All right, you okay. Now you got the flu. Well, you okay. Now you got something new has came along, which is similar to the flu. And when
right.
you die of high blood pressure due to complications of this new virus similar to the flu, they blame the virus.
Right. Right. Yes, indeed. So right on, Carl. Appreciate the call. We're going to try
Thank
to
you.
Grab some more calls. Yes, sir. Thank you. Now the CDC did come out and say that they were, as far as counting the coronavirus deaths, if a person, again, the coronavirus is a strand that's similar to the common cold, and a lot of people may test positive for the coronavirus. COVID-19 is a different strand of the coronavirus, just like SARS and MERS are different forms of the coronavirus. But what the CDC is doing, if a person dies from other complications, whether it be a heart attack, heart disease, pneumonia, they're marking it down as coronavirus if the symptoms the coronavirus. You can check that on the CDC website. They released that, I believe, like a week ago. There was also a doctor who was on, I believe, CBS TV. He actually said they're in an emergency room, and he was making it seem like it was so hectic that they were not testing the people who died. They was like, if it looked like it's coronavirus or some of the symptoms were coronavirus, they're marking it as coronavirus. Okay, so we know that that's going on based on, it's on the CDC website that they're doing that. Also, before we grab the other call, this is just from the Business Insider. It says, in St. Louis, Missouri, they just released this about an hour ago. In St. Louis, Missouri, all but three people who have died after being infected with the coronavirus were African American. Let me repeat that. Everyone except three people who died after being affected with the coronavirus were African American. Of the confirmed coronavirus cases whose race was reported in St. Louis County, 55% positive cases were black, while 36% were white. However, only 24% of its population is African American only, and 68% population is white. So that's just some stats from locally here and from St. Louis County. They are talking about, the number of people who have been infected. And in fact, the majority of the people who have died have been black, except for, again, I always look at these stats and data with a grain of salt. I do know the racial disparities are there, but I'm raising my eyebrows, raising my antennas, because I'm just looking at this thing like, how are black people really being affected at this rate and is not infecting the other communities at the same rate? So that's just me, being cautious. You can call it paranoid, but I'm really raising an eyebrow as to how this thing is spreading and how it's moving. But go ahead, brother.
Well, I was going to say also, this, I guess it's a controversial statement as well. Also, a lot of our white counterparts stay out in rural areas. They're a little bit spaced out more apart than we are in some of the,
right.
urban areas.
Right. Yeah,
so we'll be closer up on each other.
Right. Yeah, that definitely could be true. We can go to the call lines. I'll bring this up later. Let's hit the call lines, family. This is Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about what can the federal government do, if anything, to help the black community fight this pandemic, since they claim that black people are being disproportionately affected by the virus.
Okay, let's
Okay. Area code 609-310. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment and a question.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Well, the comment is, I kind of agree with, I don't know which caller that was. I think it's more about that in our community, well, I live in the suburbs, but in the more or less black communities or urban communities, they a lot of them lack health insurance. And when they go to the hospital, you got to be honest, if you don't have the proper health insurance, they only going to treat you a certain way. And then that's
that
it.
Is true.
If you got somebody else that's making $100,000 and they got a really good health insurance, they going to treat them the best that they can treat them. So you got to look at the difference. That's why I think, I may be wrong, but I think that's why a lot of our blacks are dying, because of the health insurance. I think so. But I could be wrong, but I think that's what it comes down to. And
yeah,
like you said, I don't think it got nothing to do with drinking and smoking, because let me tell you, I'm on a medical marijuana program. And let me tell you, you pull up our stats, there's more whites smoking weed than it blacks are. Let me tell you.
Right.
I can tell you that now. So it doesn't have nothing to do with smoking weed or none of that. I'm just saying.
Right.
It doesn't have nothing to do with that, because everybody's doing it. If you look at the stats and pull it up on medical marijuana, look at the stats, and then you call me back and tell me who's smoking weed. Everybody doing
that's
it, not just black. So I didn't like the fact that he tried to make it seem like all we do is drink and smoke, because I don't drink. I smoke medical marijuana that I prescribed by the doctor. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
right.
I just think that
that's
was
right.
That right there, I didn't too much care about. I didn't care that.
That's
I
right.
think that was kind of putting the blame on us, like he was saying. It's kind of like he was targeting us for something. And I didn't like that. But the most of it is more or less the health insurance, I'm telling you. It comes down to the health insurance. That's what it comes down to, how we're being treated in the hospital. Remember, we can't go in there to see our loved ones when they're in there, so we don't know what they're doing behind the closed doors.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Yes, indeed, caller. Yeah, appreciate it. Your grandmother called. Appreciate it. Yes, indeed. I mean, she raised some good points. I think it does basically come down to how we're treated in the hospitals. You know what I'm saying? I kind of broke that down too, because if we had better treatment and we were, you know, if we were in a equitable system, we would be treated just as if we had insurance, or we was, you know, white or whatever. Like, we would just be treated fairly when we go into these medical institutions. That's what it comes down to. Forget the health issues, because we all, Americans got health issues, period, because Americans are unhealthy as a country, period. So, let's get to the call line. Yeah, let's get to the call line.
Okay. Area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
I was just in there thinking, what else can the government get? There's nothing else the government can do. The only other thing the government can do is come down, have them boys in green pull up, put the M16 in your face and say, go back in the house. They've already told you everything you need to know. If you ain't caught on by now, then I guess you're lost. So, but you go ahead and get to the next caller.
Yes, indeed. Right on, Carl. Appreciate
you.
Yes, indeed.
You're lost. Okay. Area code 314-616. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, thanks for calling in, caller.
Hey, Peter. I'll be brief. And maybe I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm not sure. But as far as these numbers, being relative to the black community, I do think that they're being embellished. And from what I'm reading, that this could potentially be a part of an insurance scam, because I'm hearing that that these hospitals are getting 13 grand per patient, and then if they can put you on a ventilator, that's another 39,000. And with these numbers, you know, we've already been on the CDC website, and we've seen that they're pretty much telling these doctors that just label everything COVID-19. And they do that because they know, like, you know, a lot of these funeral homes are not going to take in those patients because they think they're going to catch the virus, even though embalming will kill it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when you think about it, it's like a 3 or 4 for 1 deal for white supremacy, because if I can get this money, you know, off of a label, off a person that may or may not already have a challenged immune system, and I know this person's not really sick, I'm going to go ahead and snatch the organ soon. So you're getting paid for 13 grand, you're getting paid $39,000, you're getting paid off of snatch of the organ. And, you know, because crime is reducing, because we, for the most part, we inside, we can't go anywhere. Now it gives the police, in the event that they pull you over, a chance to criminalize you because either he had a gun or he started coughing on me. You follow what I'm saying? So
you
got to be real careful with a lot of that stuff, because I think that's the only reason why they're targeting us. Because, like, to me, it don't make sense that a people that survived slavery, the Middle Passage, you know, all kind of biochemical warfare, we dying over this. I don't believe that.
Right.
But, you know, I'll digress. Maybe that's something that y'all believe in. You got to think about the fact that why would your enemy be concerned with you? But they know that with the war going on, they had to split it where if all white people was dying of coronavirus, it's making them look at us crazy. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now if you're trying to create a war, you got to split it up. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I think that's basically what it is. You know, they're making white people feel more relieved that we so-called dying of it, and it got us looking at each other crazy because we know that, you know, they know the easiest thing to do is divide black people among each other.
Each other, exactly. Yes, sir. Yes, indeed, caller. Right on. We appreciate you. Yes, indeed.
Thanks, caller.
Now, I want to put this out there real quick. Now, there was a report that came out, I believe the New York Times. Now, tell me what y'all think it is, because maybe I'm crazy. They were saying that 80% of the victims or 80% of the people that they put on ventilators were dying. 80% of the people they put on ventilators was dying. To me, and another doctor confirmed this, it sounds to me that they're using the wrong treatment or diagnosis for this particular virus. If you have 80-some percent of the people dying, doesn't it seem like that method should be reevaluated or stopped altogether? Or am I tripping?
They don't know what else.
I don't know, y'all.
Right.
They lost.
The thing is,
y'all see that?
I'm
hello?
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I said they are just trying to do something until they learn something new, you know, because right now they don't have a whole lot of information as far as testing, because they don't have a test. The test and the methods that they're using, the information is not accurate, you know, so they can't actually test for it. They only trying to do the process of elimination, but even in that, it's still so many other options that it can be, that it may not even be corona or COVID-19, but they're just giving it to you because they don't have testing.
Right.
They don't have proper.
Right.
They can't test for the COVID-19. They can just do a test and do a process of elimination.
Right. Yeah. So in regards to how it's affecting our community, this is why we have to be very careful. I don't want to get into, you know, conspiracy and people saying, you know, it's a hoax and all this type of stuff. But I just want to put this out there because the Business Insider released a report, right? You can look this up on the Business Insider website, where it says that white supremacists were discussing using the coronavirus as a bioweapon against non-white communities. I'm gonna repeat that again, and you can look this article up. This is from the Business Insider. Now you laughing, brother?
I don't know what that's for, but this could be something real, and this actually should be something that raises your antennas. Because when they talk about white supremacists using it, they're not talking about no low-level trailer park person. They're talking about real white supremacist organizations using this to spread the virus to the black community. Now, you know, I don't really find that funny. I think that's a serious and credible threat, considering the FBI and Department of Homeland Security even put this particular information out. And it would be as simple as somebody being infected with the virus, going to places where there's large amounts of black people and just spreading the virus, you know, doing stuff, putting, you know, fluids on different things or what have you, gas stations, like anything. And that's something we should be aware of. And I don't think, you know, we should be laughing at all. You dig what I'm saying? Because if and when they start to open up everything and say everything's cool, this can still be used as a biological weapon. And I don't think black people fathom how diabolical these people are and the lengths they would go to do something like that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Maybe you can explain why you was laughing, but I think this is something that should be taken very seriously. At least I am, you know. So
I'm laughing.
I just wanted to put that out there.
I'm laughing because white supremacy is dead. And I ain't worried about no white supremacists. I ain't worried about no white supremacists. Y'all know
He's
we had
back.
That conversation before.
Right,
He's
and
back.
Then white supremacy got everything locked down. I
it
remember
is
saying
what
they
it
can
is.
Tell you what to do or when to leave the house, but they're getting close to telling you when you can leave the house and what you can do and what you can't do. You remember
He's
that?
He's back.
Y'all remember that. Y'all remember that. They can't tell me what to do. Yes, they can.
That's all I know.
I don't,
yes,
he's
they
back.
Can. I don't recall that.
Right. I'm sure. But, yeah, y'all want to see if we can get another call in?
Okay.
We within the last half hour. We see if we get some more calls.
Code 314-605. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Okay, maybe they just can call 314-605. Okay, just listening. Area code 336-965. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 336-965. Okay, just listening.
Right. So look. Let me put this out here too. We down. Okay, it's 7:13. It's Collective Minds Radio. We have been discussing, you know, what can the federal government do to, you know, help the black community fight this pandemic. Right. And you know, they've been reading off the stats as far as okay. We know that black people are treated differently in the hospitals, medical disparities, and all these things. See, when we talk about the system of racism, right, it's almost like we talk about it as if it's some type of ghost, and it's like some mythological thing that just happens. No, there are actually people who actually implement this particular system. So when we can relate that to the hospital, you have doctors and nurses and hospital administrators, all these people, right, who classify themselves as white, they are able to implement these racial discriminations when it comes to medical practices. So we have to look at that. We can't just be talking about this thing as if it's just some thing that we can't grasp and we don't know how it's happening, because there's actually people doing these things. Right, there's people who work at these hospitals who are actually doing these things to cause these disparities as it relates to black people's health. So we have to acknowledge that and not just think about it just, oh, it's just, if racism just happens, it just happens. We don't know where it comes from. These things just happen. Because people, they will give you a laundry list of things that have happened to black people. And when it's time for the get down and make something happen, everybody wants to twirl their thumbs. So,
is the coronavirus racist?
No, but it's going to be racist coming in this country. Racism go rear its head. Yeah, right. Well, what's going to happen is, like the caller said, what's going to happen is if 10 black people get affected, 10 white people get affected, their trips to the hospitals are going to be different, period. And that's just what it is, that the hospital visits are going to be different. You have economic disparities. You have insurance disparities. You have all these things that are a result of the system, and it's going to affect
maybe
those people when they visit the hospital.
Maybe that's just,
you know,
affecting poor people. Maybe instead of saying black people, we should say affecting poor people.
No, because I think black people's needs are very specific. And a poor white person and a poor black person are still in different classes.
So you don't think
sense.
Poor? So you don't think white people that's poor, struggling to have health insurance?
You don't think
Latino people who are poor struggle to have health insurance?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I mean,
thank you.
Even if they did, that still does not negate, like, our story is different. Like, we're not the same. We're not in the same boat. A poor black person versus a poor Latino, which most of them classify themselves as white. So that'd be my thing. When people say black and brown, like, what are you really talking about? There's really no coalition between black and brown people. Our stories are totally different. And a lot of people who are classified as brown or Latino, they classify themselves as white. You see what I'm saying? So there's no, like, I don't do the black and brown or the poor people, the minorities. I'm speaking specifically about black people because our story is unique. You know, we are unique people. We have a unique story, and it should be addressed as such. And we shouldn't be lumped in with Latinos, Mexicans, poor people, whatever.
And that's exactly why. And that's exactly why the Surgeon General said what he said. That's exactly why he was directing his message at us. For the exact reason
right.
You just said.
Right. Well, he did include Latinos and Native Americans and all that. You know, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, we down to what we're looking at coming into the last 10 minutes of the show.
Try to get one more caller.
Yeah, y'all want to see if we get one more in there?
Okay. Let's see. Area code 314-568. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
No, I actually just tuned in. I'm just catching up on what's going on.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thanks for calling in, caller.
All right,
yes, indeed. So look, right on, caller. So look, this is the other thing that I think we need to be careful about too, because as black people are the face of the coronavirus, we have to be careful of them criminalizing us behind this thing. Because I've seen a few videos, you know, where brothers have been accosted either for wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. There was a brother in Philadelphia who was kicked off the bus because he did not have a mask on. They got police in there and grabbed him. So we got to be careful about these laws, because I'm telling you now, they're mostly going to be enforced on black people, period. You know, and we're not going to even
talk
about
black, or maybe these black people just don't want to listen, don't want to follow the instructions.
But I don't think that's a particular rule that you can't wear, you have to wear a mask. That's not a law yet.
The guy who was on the subway, that was a rule that was put in place. They since changed it, but it was a rule that was put in place. So I don't know why he just didn't say, oh, my bad, instead of causing a big scene like you're going to win.
They had to hem him up. The one on the subway, the brother had on a mask, and if I'm not mistaken, it was somebody else on the subway without a mask. Like, so what I'm saying is these laws, like most laws, are going really to be enforced on black people. Period. So
who
we have to be careful
who don't know how to listen. Who don't know how to obey.
No, because so why wouldn't you enforce the law on everyone? Instead of just black people.
They do be enforced on everyone. Everybody else know how to obey.
No, fam. So you saying black people are the only people that don't know how to obey? That's not true, bro.
Nope.
We're not
the only people that break the law.
Hemmed
up, the ones who get hemmed up, that maybe they should listen.
Fam.
Learn how to listen. Pay attention. Follow the instruction. Or you got to get thrown off the train.
Right.
The brother on the bus
in Philadelphia, I don't think there was a law to where you can't wear a mask. I mean, or to where you have to wear a mask. I don't think that's a law. So, but yeah, that's all I'm saying. And not going to even talk about it. I don't know if y'all seen the reports on how, the Africans are being treated in China. You know, I'm seeing videos where they basically just hemming them up, just catching them on the streets and locking them up because they saying that something with the COVID being associated with them. So, I mean, we just had a real slippery slope.
Know what that means.
Because we can, what that means.
Get the hell out of China.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, yeah.
Stop. I've been saying that for a long time. I don't know why we trust them anyway. They ain't doing nothing but over there oppressing African people anyway. I ain't finna start on that rant. But, yeah,
right.
Get up out of there. Go on to your own homeland. Stay away from China. They ain't no good anyway. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. They no good tricksters. Came up with this Chinese virus. Dude, I ain't messing with the Chinese people right now. I'm riding on them. Ride on them.
I feel you. So
I thought it was made in one of the bases here, and it was stolen and taken there.
Stolen by a Chinese woman.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm.
A Chinese spy. We need to leave them Chinese folks alone.
Well, you know, we'll see how this thing play out next week. But, I personally just think we at a slippery slope. You know, it could go either way. I think they kind of reeling back. And I think slowly but surely they're going to try to open things up. Because, like I was saying, I don't think the numbers and the projections are going like they planned. I think a lot of things have been exposed about this thing and are coming out. But, we'll see how it play out. Like I say, I think black people definitely need to be careful, definitely need to take precautions. Even if they say, you know, you go out and open everything up, we still have to approach this thing like we are at war, period. Every time you leave the house, you need to have your hard hat on like you are at war. You know what I'm saying? Which is what I've been doing before the coronavirus, and I will continue to do after, even more so now, to be diligent and just be aware of what's going on out here. You know what I'm saying? It's not sweet. You know what I'm saying? You still can enjoy your life and do whatever you have to do as far as handling your business, but just know that, you know, the type of, system and situation we're in, you know? So that's how I would put it. I'll let y'all get the last words here. Or are we going to 8 or no? What? Are we going to 7:30 or 8?
Should be 7:30.
Okay. I'm sorry. I know we did an extra 30 last week, so forgive me.
Yeah, that was a special.
Okay, gotcha.
So,
y'all want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I get ready. I double down on what I said earlier about, you know, what can the government do? You know, you want to help out all people. I won't say African Americans or blacks. I say all people with their ailments. then Iron Fist, take away unhealthy choices. Take away the unhealthy lifestyles. Hey, do like North Korea, because as from what I'm hearing, North Korea ain't got nowhere near as many cases as a lot of countries around the world have. So maybe we need to be a little bit more like North Korea. Iron Fist, you know, take away unhealthy choices from people. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they say, yeah, North Korea and I think, Sweden had a low count too, last I checked. You know, Sweden had a low count. It's a few countries that's kind of dealing with it, you know, a little different than the U.S., but remember, the U.S. is all about freedom. Everybody come in, come out, come and go
what
as you please,
Canada?
And all that.
What about Canada?
They have some cases and some deaths as well. Of course, it's not as high as here, but they had a few cases. I think some of the lowest countries, like you said, North Korea, Sweden, Norway, and then a lot of the African countries have a low count as well, too. You know, a lot of the African countries have a low count as well. So, you know, that's what that said. So, we'll see how this thing play out, you know what I'm saying, coming up on this next week. But, yeah, I suspect, you know, we're going to start trying to get back to opening things back up in a little bit. And,
All right, okay. Well, let me just thank everybody for calling in. And also, though, before I do that, I do want to put out there, because we didn't talk about this, but it's just as important, too. Not everybody who died from COVID-19 had health issues. Not everybody.
There were people that
didn't have pre-existing illnesses, and they still fell victim. So everybody needs to be careful out here. Everybody needs to be watchful. Everybody needs to be wise. Everybody needs to make smart moves and decisions that's going to help and benefit them and those that are around them. And pay attention, you know, listen with wisdom. And just pay attention, you know. But everybody has to be careful, whether you a black person or not. You just have to be careful out here. But again, thank everybody for calling in. We appreciate the dialogue. We always appreciate your support. Continue to support us each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like always, if you have any show topic ideas that you want to discuss with us or want us to discuss, feel free to send us an email at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yes, and Twitter. Peace. Talk to you next week.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.